Dear Heavenly Father, given all glory and honor to you, we are so thankful for tonight and for the opportunity you've given us to bestow your gospel message of your Son on us this evening. Thankful, Lord, that Brother Wiggins tonight will stand bold on your word, that he will enlighten us to the God of this world. Pray, Lord, that with everything that's going on in our country at this time, pray, Lord, that our hearts are humbled and that our ears are open to hear your engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. Pray, Lord, that we understand that your Son Jesus is the answer that you have given us to all the ills of this world. Thankful, Lord, for the Church of Christ, that kingdom institution, that those who have obeyed the gospel are citizens of that kingdom, and pray that someone tonight also wants to be added to that kingdom. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Fleming. We're very grateful again tonight to have each and every person on the call, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You are very honored guests. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this Nationwide Gospel Meeting call. And we pray now you take your Bible and pay attention to what we said tonight. Open it up, study it. For in the Church of Christ, we believe that the Bible is right, and in the word of the Bible, it's right. Tonight, our speaker, the person, Brother Austin Wiggins from Vida, Texas, minister there at the Vida Church of Christ. We have signed him with subject tonight, topic about the God of this world, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. The Bible said, by gospel be hid, and hid to them that are lost, and whom the God, liturgy of this world, blinded the minds, and them lest the light of the glorious gospel shine unto them. We're going to talk about that liturgy, God, tonight. Brother Wiggins, we want you to sound your trumpet tonight. Let us hear from you. Blow it.
All right. Thank you so much there, Brother Brooks, for that wonderful introduction. It's always a pleasure to be able to be on here and to speak to all of those that are listening. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule. We know that you are busy, but we also appreciate the fact that you have taken time to place emphasis in your life on spiritual things. And so here tonight, we hope that you have Bible in hand and that you are ready and willing to search the scriptures as we speak forth through the phone tonight. So glad that you are here, and I hope that the message finds you well wherever you may be. So with Bible in hand, I ask you to be ready as you turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, as we prepare to cry aloud and to spare not. And as we look at the passage that we have set before us tonight, I want you to remember, by way of introduction, that the church in Corinth was a congregation of the Lord's people that was racked with problems. Immoral practices, unrighteous living, arrogant attitudes, all of these things were a blight that plagued the church in that location. So much so that it's going to warrant two letters from the Apostle Paul. So in these letters that you know as 1st and 2nd Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is going to address issues with the church, and he's going to remind the church of the holy standard that God has placed upon his children. Paul is providing spiritual direction for these brethren that they might expel sinfulness from their midst, that they might make the appropriate correction, and of course that they could live lives that are pleasing unto God. So tonight, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want you to notice what is happening. The Apostle Paul is taking time to speak of the wonderful ministry that God had given him. I want you on your own to survey the first two verses of that chapter. And I want you to see how he was determined not to give in, not to fail in his duty of preaching the gospel of Christ. And even though he might have enemies in Corinth, his honesty and reliability were proven by the charge he had been given and the message that he spoke. He needed no other affirmation other than the Lord Jesus Christ. As an apostle of God, he came and he spoke with authority. And those that refused to surrender to Paul's message, that blessed gospel of truth, had been blinded, Paul says. And I want you to look back up in your Bible into chapter 3, and I want you to notice verse number 14 and verse number 15, and I want you to notice the words that are used there. The veil that lies over these individuals' hearts. And some people possibly suggest that this was a wicked Jewish contingent that had the Apostle Paul set in their sights. And the Apostle Paul would not back down for a moment. So let us pick up here the text tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Let me read them together. The Bible says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." The subject for our lesson lies in a phrase that's found within that verse, verse number 4, the God of this world. And there are several observations that I wish to make and that we're going to make, several areas of interest that we'll take a look at over the next couple of minutes. So stay tuned, stay alert for the important things that we have to say. I want you to underline, if you have a pen, I want you to underline that phrase in your Bible. Jot it down in your notes, the God of this world. I want you to remember it. And I want you to take a good look at it. The word world there, the God of this world. The word world can bring several things to mind, can't it? Maybe we think of the world that God created upon the first day of the week, upon the first chapter of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1 and in verse number 1. He created the world in 6 days. Maybe we think of passages like Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 4, in which the Apostle Paul speaks of the foundations of the world, that which we walk on, the air in which we breathe, and that which we see every day. Or maybe it's the world of men that comes to mind. You remember what the Bible says in that well-known passage in John chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world. That's the world of men. God loved man. That's why he sent his son to die upon that cross for the remission of our sins. But another observation that we have here tonight, another meaning or another idea that the word world brings up, is that sphere of evil and all of its atrocious enticements. And this is how John will use the word world in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15. You remember he said, "Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So what we have here when we think of this is the world of sin, the plane on which exists sinfulness and wickedness. It is opposed to that heavenly realm. Here the world is physical, as opposed in comparison to that spiritual realm in which God dwells. Here lies God's creations. In the heavens lies the Creator. And here upon this earth, with God's creations, lies the taint of sin that dredges the entirety of humanity, and it encompasses the totality of the globe, as is compared to the bliss and the purity of heaven, the world. And I realize that some of your translations might have a different reading there. It might say the word age, God of this age, but it carries much of the same idea, the age or era of sinful activity. This wicked age, this wicked world has a God. But it's interesting that the word God here is used twice in the same verse. One is capitalized and one isn't. Now we're familiar with that second word, God, with the big G, putting into practice those basic fundamentals that we learn in second and third grade. The capitalized letter forms a proper title, God. And we realize as God's children what that word entails, don't we? It is the title for the deity that has made it, and it rules over all that we know and all that we are. One divine essence made up of three distinct personalities, known as the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit upon the pages of the Bible. We believe Paul when he spoke to Timothy. In the first epistle that bears Timothy's name, we find in chapter 2 and in verse number 5 where Paul says this, "For there is one God." There is one God. We know that. We believe that. We have accepted that. God is the ruler and is our maker and is our creator. But the God with a little g, the God of this world, at the beginning of verse number 4, this reference to a God, something else is implied. It is indeed a title, a name, the God of this world. But this God is not the God that we know of. There is but one God and master of the universe. This is a title bestowed to something else entirely. Because this God is opposed to the work of the Apostle Paul, of the spreading of the gospel, and ultimately that of the Holy Spirit, God Himself. And so it is the God of this world. And this phrase, listeners, should be noted, it should be underlined, it should be circled, because the Apostle Paul is probably referring to none other than Satan when he says this phrase, the God of this world. And it makes sense that he would, because Satan's been mentioned, he's been referred to in a very similar way already before by Jesus Christ himself. And if you'll notice in John chapter 12 and in verse number 31, the Bible reads this, the words of Jesus Christ. He says, "Now is the judgment of this world, now the ruler of the world will be cast out." Jesus here is referring to Satan. And he refers to Satan this way in several places within the book of John. If you're a note taker and you have your pen and notepad beside you, jot down John chapter 14 and verse number 30, along with John chapter 16 and verse number 11. And notice there, this title that is attributed to the devil himself. So Paul is probably borrowing language from Jesus Christ as he writes to the church in Corinth. Satan has already been mentioned by Paul earlier in the book. And if you'll notice in chapter 2, in verse number 11 of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says this, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." And again, once more, at the end of the book, towards the end of the book, in chapter 11, and in verse number 14 of the book, 2 Corinthians, Paul makes mention of Satan masquerading as an angel of light. Paul believed in the existence of Satan, and he would have the church in Corinth to know about the God of this world. The Apostle Paul is informing the brethren here of the influence that Satan exerts and the actions that he is involved in and how he blinds men and he leads them astray. He's called a God, and he's called a ruler, not because he's on the same level as God, not because he's a deity, and not because he should in any way be respected, but it's a reference to the scope of Satan's influence as it pervades and prevails over the entirety of the world, and how many have fallen prey to the love and to the practice of sinful pleasures that stem from him. And remember Luke chapter 8 and verse number 12, how he snatches the gospel away. Yes, some have even committed to the worship of the devil and what he represents. But God in heaven is still sovereign. God still reigns. And remember that God has not delivered unto us all knowledge, has he? There are still many questions. And when it comes to the subject of Satan, probably the most frequent question that is asked concerning Satan's role, Satan's job, as it were, here upon this earth, is why? Why would God allow Satan to exist? Why would he allow him the freedom to roam and the freedom to move and the freedom to work all of the wickedness that he works as he wreaks havoc amongst humanity? And he leads many to their spiritual doom and destruction. And the plain and simple fact is, listeners, dearly beloved, we simply do not know. God has chosen not to reveal that to us at this time. We simply know from passages found in the book of Job that Satan is limited by God in what he can and what he cannot do. So in keeping with our theme tonight, we wish to sound the trumpet call once more. Yes, we shall lift up our voices and we shall show the people what God would have them to know about humanity's greatest adversary, the devil. Oh, that evil one that is spoken of in Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 38. He is alive and he is well and he is active today. The same devil that was going to and fro upon the earth in the days of Job is the same one who is seeking to lead men astray today. He is the father of lies, according to John chapter 8 and verse number 44, and he is sowing the seeds of doubt and despair in the ranks of humanity today. All of the many titles for Satan in the Bible, and those are just a few, they all give us a hint as to who he is, as to what he is, and it gives us an idea as to his character. But I must say tonight, Satan has done his job well, hasn't he? For those devices, that deceit that he has used and he puts into practice so often is commonplace amongst the world today. Man is ensnared in wicked activity. And even though Satan does not work through miraculous means today, he is still a deadly opponent. How does Satan affect mankind? How does he work his dastardly works? How does he cause people's souls to be lost? And we turn again to the Bible. The greatest commentary upon a biblical passage is another passage itself. And for this, I turn to Acts chapter 5, and I notice verse number 3 and verse number 4. You will remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira. In Acts chapter 5 and verse number 3, the Apostle Peter says, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" Why has Satan filled your heart? That's an interesting statement, isn't it? And later in the next verse, he pursues his line of questioning. And the apostle asks, "Why have you conceived this thing in your heart?" By drawing these thoughts, being tempted, your lust being uncontrolled, you have allowed Satan to influence you. And remember that Ananias and Sapphira would both pay with their lives for the lies that they told. So the devil might not have power over us. He's not some puppet master pulling the strings, but he gladly aids men and women in their spiritual demise, doesn't he? And today, Satan is still using his influence and his trickery to fill the hearts and minds of men as he continually makes sin to look attractive. Disguising a lie to look like the truth is one of his oldest stunts. And you remember the language of 2 Corinthians 11, the deceit that he employs. And also in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 7, that trickery that he uses. And he uses it every way that he can possibly conceive. Oh, his traps are everywhere. His influence is astounding. They're in the television. They're piped into your living room. As you sit and you watch, maybe you're spending family time. The commercials that play, the things that are said over and over and over again. I had a brother tell me one time, and I thought it was had a lot of insight into this comment. When he said, you know, I've never seen a beer commercial that didn't look like it was a load of fun. And that's right. It's exactly right. Satan makes things look enticing. He makes sin look good. He wants you to commit these evil acts to put your soul in jeopardy. Oftentimes they come through the radio. What type of music do you listen to? What are the songs you sing along with? What words do these country western stars and these rap stars and these artists have you saying as you're driving down the interstate in your car? Is it filthy language? Is it full of innuendo? Sometimes it comes through the actions of others, his influence. Those that are already fallen prey to the evil scheme. They're caught up in sin, they're neck deep in it, in the love of sin and the practice of sin. They're around you. What do you do? What do you do? The homosexuality is a big theme in today's world, isn't it? In the United States of America. What are our youth being taught now as we turn on the television? That which is an abomination in the sight of God is something that is almost normal in today's society, isn't it? And nobody seems to care. But that evil entity that masquerades as an angel of light, oh yes, sometimes he'll come, but he comes in a manner that you don't see. You're not expecting. Sometimes his lies are spewed forth from the mouth of those least that you least expect. And I comes to my mind many televangelists that come upon the TV all over this nation, and they speak lies. They speak lies. And the thousands upon thousands of people that believe those lies. And sometimes Satan might come, and he comes in a way, in a form, with a temptation, placing you in a situation that is most unexpected and seeing how you react. Maybe he comes in the form of a Lego brick in the hallway, a darkened hallway at 3 o'clock in the morning that you find with your bare foot. What do you say? What do you do? What is your reaction? Just how deep does your spirituality go? And so he tests humanity again and again and again. The children of God are under a constant assault, aren't they, from the God of this world. And he loves it when we don't talk about him. He grins when we deny his existence. And he is tickled pink when men and women ignore the truth and they choose instead to follow the smooth lies that he has helped create. Brethren and friends, we need to stay alert. When we need to be aware that Satan exists and that he is working tirelessly to try to derail you and I spiritually. And oh, some will say, oh, Brother Wiggins, what can we do? What shall we do? to guard ourselves against the wiles of Satan. And I would like to start off by simply suggesting this, by listening on here tonight and reading for yourself the plain language of the Bible. I want you to just simply note, acknowledge in your own mind that Satan does exist. You do have an adversary. He is alive, he is a real being. And he's not just some story that's been concocted up to scare children at bedtime. And I want you to also realize that even though Satan is alive and he is well and he is working out our demise as best as he can, that we are not ignorant of who he is. We're not ignorant of how he operates. I hate it that Satan exists, and I don't understand God's wisdom in all things. But since God has seen fit that Satan should exist and that he will be active, I'm glad he told me about it. I'm ever thankful that we have a loving God that has told me about him and how I can fend him off. And while the devil shouldn't be ignored, it's equally true that he shouldn't be overestimated either. The Christian can and should overcome. Remember 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. When we resist him, he flees from us, according to James chapter 4 and verse number 7. Some might say, well, Brother Wiggins, how does one do that? How does one resist? How do I fend off the devil when he attacks? I simply suggest just do what Jesus did. In Matthew chapter 4, when Satan came to him time and time and time again, and he tried to tempt Jesus through the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the vainglory, or the pride of life, Jesus replied to him each time, it is written. Friends, know that book. Know your Bible. Know the truth. Use it at every turn to strengthen you as you face your trials of life. And in doing so, that you might deflect those fiery darts that Paul speaks of, and that we might stand our test, proving ourselves true and deepening our faith. My time is almost up, but I have you in mind while I'm speaking these things. To you, the New Testament Christian that is listening in here all over the phone this evening, I want to say thank you, and I want to commend you for your steadfastness, for your devotion, for taking the time to listen and to spend time in God's Word. And please take note of the message tonight as we have tried to send forth the warning about the subject of Satan, the one who seeks your spiritual demise. And I encourage you every day that you get up out of bed to put on the whole armor of God, that you gird yourself with that which God has made available to you, and that you fight the good fight of faith every day until you breathe your last. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. To those of y'all who are listening that are not members of the Lord's body, you may be wondering why Brother Tommy Brooks has saw to it that lessons like this are delivered, that they have been delivered, and that they will continue to be delivered on throughout the rest of the month. Why do we speak lessons on subjects like the God of this world? And allow me to answer that hypothetical question with a scripture from God's Word, found from the book of Acts. Listen to me while I quote. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. You might remember that phrase, that piece of scripture from Acts chapter 26 and verse number 18. Are you a child of God tonight? Know that you have an adversary, and that he is gunning for you. And to be stagnant, to lay still, to be silent, to not do anything is not an answer at all. We encourage you to act, and to act now, to act on the truth, to do something about the predicament that you find yourself in. We ask that you obey the gospel of Christ, that you believe the basic facts of the gospel, that Jesus Christ came, he lived, and he died for the remission of your sins, and that he now reigns in heaven over a kingdom of which you can be a part, that you are ready to repent from a lifestyle of sin, that change of mind that leads to a change of heart and a change of action, and that you will dutifully follow him in every way possible, shedding the practice of sin and the love of sin and leaving it far behind. That good confession will then be taken from you, in which you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And finally, you will be taken down into the water, and you will be immersed for the remission of your sins. Please listen to what we have to say. We're so thankful that you were here. We hope that you will respond. We ask that you will give thought to the God of this world as you move about your week, and that you will always be prepared and ready for whenever he throws temptation your way. Thank you so much for listening. I turn it over to Brother Tommy.
Thank you, Brother Wiggin. We appreciate you so very much. That old Satan, that old devil, that old serpent, Apollyon, Abaddon, the prince of darkness. That's him. Oh, gee, God, but he's powerful, isn't he? The trickery. Use wiles and traps. Yeah, that's what I wanted you to tell them. You know, he put a cheese on the trap. You stir it in there. That's where we get in trouble. If you're on the call tonight, understand that all this stuff we're hearing out here from these televangelists and those who are teaching the false doctrine, many of you have obeyed some of that false doctrine. We're teaching the truth on this program. The truth, there's one must believe that Jesus is the Son of God, as he's talked about tonight. That his Son died and shed his blood and washed our sins away in baptism. The same blood purchased his church, the only church in the Bible, the Church of Christ. But the devil done lied to everybody. Yeah, the great deceiver, he done lied, the old serpent. And everybody thinking any church would do. That's the problem we have today. And that's why we're doing these programs. That's why we're doing these calls. To let everyone know there's only one straight and narrow way. You've been listening to us and you said, Brother Brooks, I see it. I want to obey this truth. I believe it. And get back with the person who invites you to this call. Tell them you want to obey God. And they'll get you to a congregation. They'll baptize you. And you become a member of that one true church. Serve God. Big G God. You know, you can do that. Now, if that person can't help you, go ahead and email me at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And no matter where you are in my listening audience, we will make sure we get someone to you to teach you further if you need it, or to get you to a congregation where you can be baptized immediately. We won't be waiting. We're going to get it done ASAP, ASAP, as they call it. That means because you're not saved until you obey the truth. Baptized in the one true church. So you may have been baptized before, but that doesn't mean you're saved. Let us teach you more about that. Now, if you want to go back and listen to Brother Wiggins, you can go to our website at hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. And click on Nationwide Gospel Meeting. There you will find all the recorded messages for your use. They're free downloads. You can read, listen to them over and over. Get all the information off of them you want. All these preachers are coming on. The elders are coming on. We're doing this in love. We're trying to save souls. We want yours to be saved, but we know everyone must make that decision for themselves. So let's pray to God about it. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings of life. We thank you for this another day. We knew it wasn't promised, but you allowed us to see this day to this point, and we're thankful. We're very thankful for the love you've shown the world through the giving of your only Son, and the love demonstrated by him on the cross. We hung between the two thieves, and in horrible pain, excruciating pain, dying a horrible death, humiliated death. There your Son loved us enough to hang for us on that cross because he had done no wrong. You became sin for us, Father. We know that. We ask you now to bless us to remember and be thankful for what you've done and for what your son has done. We pray a special prayer for our visitors, those who want to call tonight. We're not members of your son's kingdom, his church. We pray that they're listening with open ears and a receptive heart to receive with meekness your word, which they will save their souls. For all of us who are members of the church, that we be edified and strengthened, yet we be warned and put on alert that the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we're reminded that he's our adversary, that he's going to and fro, seeking whom he can devour. So we thank you, Father, for giving us your words so we can read and be informed and be alert, know, have knowledge of what he's going to do and what we can do to protect ourselves, that he may resist. Lord, we thank you for Brother Wiggins. We thank you for the body of the Church of Christ. We pray your blessings upon him in the ministry there and all those who serve with him. We thank you for all of our speakers across the nation who come on our call. Pray your blessings upon them. We love you. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tomorrow night, another strong hit out of Violet, Texas, from the Violet Church of Christ. Brother Wiggins is preaching there. Tomorrow night we have Brother Glenn Williams, one of the elders, to serve there with Brother Austin. And boy, it's so good to know these men are sound. We're so thankful. He's going to blow his trumpet. He's going to sound that trumpet tomorrow night. And that same verse said that God is with him, blinded the mind. You want to call back tomorrow night because your mind might be blinded. We'll take the blinders off so you can see clearly the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We hope you'll call in tomorrow night, Thursday night. All these flattering talents these preachers give themselves, it lifts them above me. Yeah, we got to be careful about that. Got to understand that, brother. Brother Lewis Parker, fourth, Sugar Land Church of Christ, going to blow the trumpet. He's going to sound the trumpet by using Tyler calling me and something other than brother. It's a problem. That's a big problem. He's going to talk about that in closing out. His elder, one of his elders there at Sugar Land, Roy Johnson. Brother Roy Johnson. He's going to sound the trumpet about baptism. We need to hear these messages. We hope you'll call back in tomorrow night. Be on the call. And we know you are going to enjoy the message tomorrow night as you have tonight. We love you all. Thank you for joining us. We pray you have a good night's rest. Take care.